The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
So glad to have you along with us for another program here, Afternoons with Mike, heard every day at this time here on the Shepherd Radio Network. With me today, I've got youth expert, I've got apologist Alex McFarland, and he's on the line with me from the beautiful area of Colorado. I don't know exactly what city you're in, but you're out there in the mountains, and it's kind of cold out there. Welcome, Alex.
Well, thank you, Mike. It's always a privilege to speak with you. I appreciate you so much as a broadcaster and a friend and colleague. And I wish you could see what I'm looking at. I'm about 9,400 feet above sea level.
Wow.
4,500 feet below the top of Pikes Peak. I'm in Woodland Park teaching this week at Caris. Caris is a Christian college out here in Colorado, and I come out here a couple of times a year to teach either biblical worldview and apologetics or also political science. And we talk about the philosophical foundation of the Constitution. But It's a beautiful day, probably quite a bit different than the weather you're having in Florida.
Well, it's been very nice. Boy, I know the area where you're talking about out there. And the first time I ever got to go to Colorado, Alex, I will never forget the feeling of seeing those mountains rising up in the distance when it happens that you, it's just like all of a sudden you have your first view of the Rockies. And that first view on that trip was my first ever view. And it is truly breathtaking. And then we went on in and we were hanging out at the Denver area, went to the Estes Park, the national park. And
the
Rocky Mountain National Park, and watching the just having lunch one day on a picnic table before this incredible mountain rising in the distance that was truly purple. And I was sitting there with all the feels of early American patriotic songs, thinking is the Purple Mountain majesty that inspired that kind of a lyric. It is truly beautiful, and it's really not anything like it anywhere else.
You know, you are so right, Mike, and I'm glad we're talking about this. You know, I've read Catherine Lee Bates was out here, and the story goes that she, you know, hiked to nearly the top of Pikes Peak, or maybe the very top, and she wrote America the Beautiful, oh beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain.
Yeah.
And, you know, having been out here many times, you can see way in the distance is Nebraska.
Wow.
And like you say, you know, Purple Mountain majesty, America, God shed his grace on thee. And, you know, I would say not only in the topography of the land, but in many, many ways, God shed his grace on this wonderful nation. And, you know, Mike, it's been my privilege to travel a lot as a preacher, apologetic speaker. I never knew what the Lord would allow me to do. I grew up on a farm in rural North Carolina. I'll be straight with you. Very poor. We didn't know it, but looking back, we were very poor chicken farmers in North Carolina. And I would say that if you need to lose a lot of money and you need to lose it fast, go into the chicken business, because you can burn through a lot of money. And I was a kid, but you know, I give God the glory. You know, I've seen the Atlantic, I've seen the Pacific, I've spent 11 nights in the Grand Canyon looking at fossils, I've seen whales surface, you know, off of Big Sur in the Pacific Ocean out in Northern California, and I've seen Niagara Falls in the Mississippi. Best part of all, I've seen thousands of precious people in 2,200 American churches throughout all 50 states. And I've also, Mike, dialogued with atheists and skeptics and Marxists at more than 200 American universities where I've gotten to speak. The good, the bad, the things that bless me, the things that concern me. I love this country, Mike. I do. I love America. I'm concerned about America.
Yeah, me too.
But
this
is a great country. This is a great country.
You know, it really is. And anyone that follows the news has to be concerned about its future, our future. It's not just like we're speaking of America in third person, uninvolved, unattached. We who live here really, truly love this. And if you've done the kind of traveling that you've done, and for anyone, I have not traveled anywhere as much as what you have, but I've done enough of it. I've been in the Middle East. I've been in areas of the islands of places like Haiti, which is a third world country right in our own hemisphere here, and a very dangerous political mess going on there right now. I've been in communist countries, and I can tell you that every time I go, every one of the residents in those areas would have had an attitude of wonder when they would think about the USA. And here we are. We get to live here, and it's painful, isn't it, to see the things that are going on right now in our great country.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, Mike, I don't mean to talk about myself and, you know, just our experiences, but my wife and I have been married 35 years, and my wife is a nurse, incredible lady. I mean, you know, I guess I'm biased, but I would love to do an hour-long show and just tell you about Angie and all the things that she's done for our family, for me, but for others. But Angie has been on medical mission to the Sudan and Zambia. And I remember the first time I ever went to Africa, which was in 2001, and we've made numerous trips since, and developing nations, third world countries. But I had taken a big jar of peanut butter with me, because during orientation for this mission trip, we were 21 days in the bush country of Zambia. These MREs, these, you know, meals ready to eat, well, they're very, very, very salty. And so I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'll just take peanut butter, because I love peanut butter. Very nutritious.
Yeah.
So we get down to Zambia, and we were in a village, and this pastor, his name was Abel Tembo. He was a school teacher. He was a pastor. He was really kind of the tribal head of this particular village, just working himself to death, but a sweet, sweet, sweet Zambian man. And we were there, and it was like the first day, and I said, Abel, I admire you. I mean, you are the glue that holds this village together, pastor, teacher. I said, how may I be praying for you? Now, listen to this. He said, well, Brother Alex, pray for me. He said, I try to save up. And we calculated he makes like $200 a year.
Oh, my goodness.
And he said, about every other year, if I can save my money, I treat myself. I go to Lusaka. If I can afford it, it's my, you know, highest joy. If I can ever afford it, I'll treat myself to a jar of peanut butter.
Oh.
Now, Mike, I would like to tell you that I'm really spiritual and instantly ran to my duffel bag. But for just a momentary second, I was like, really, Lord, do I have to come over here?
You just happened to have one.
I'm sleeping on the ground. I'm waking up to flick scorpions and cockroaches off of me. Now, the Holy Spirit got the better of me, and I went. I said, Abba, hold on. So I go to my duffel bag. I get out this 2.5-pound jar of peanut butter that I had brought from North Carolina.
Mm.
The man fell to his knees weeping.
Oh, my goodness.
And now here's my point. And I'm telling you the God's honest truth, Mike. When a jar of peanut butter will make a man fall to his knees weeping in gratitude, and he held it like he was looking at the Hope Diamond or some.
Yeah, yeah.
He literally could not believe it. And he looked at me. This is like a 50-year-old man, a professional. He said, this is for me? And I said, you bet, buddy.
Yeah,
that's your jar of peanut butter. I'm telling you, we are so blessed.
We are.
We live in a nation of abundance, don't we?
We do. I had a similar experience. Wasn't with peanut butter, although I love peanut butter, my friend. But I went to Cuba on a trip, and we took over some musical instruments on this particular trip that had been donated to us. And one of the things that I had donated from a music store in Gainesville, Florida, was a beautiful guitar. It was an acoustic guitar. It had no case with it, though. They didn't have a case, but they gave me the guitar. And it was worth probably, I want to say $500-$600, something like that. And then, but I looked around for a case, and a friend of mine I happened to be talking to runs a pawn shop in Orlando. And he goes, hey, I have some extra guitar cases. I'll just give you one. And they were worth like $65. And so he gave me this case. It fit the guitar perfectly. And off we went. And we donated that. And the person to whom I gave it, he was so much in wonder that people had, you know, from his standpoint, such generosity to give such opulence. And he wanted, he was so interested to know, again, a minister in Cuba. And he goes, so tell me, how much was the guitar? And I told him. And then he just stood there and his head was shaking. And then he said, Mike, how much would the case have cost? And I said, well, if I had to buy the case, it would have been $65. And what he said next stunned me. He goes, Mike, we could not have even afforded the case. And I'm I thought about that later. I was telling that story to one of the people that we traveled with. And honestly, Alex, I broke down in tears. I'm thinking, you know, I think I don't take things for granted. I think I don't really walk in all of this without being grateful. And then something like a peanut butter jar or a guitar case will get you every time on that kind of a thing. We are so blessed and have been. And yet we're seeing all of this be almost given away and put in danger, and it's really frustrating.
Well, it is. It really is. And may I have time to tell another story?
Oh, man, this is great. I love it. We've got plenty of time.
Well, let me say, having traveled in the cause of missions and Christian academics, teaching, teaching theology, teaching church history, teaching political science, teaching worldview. I mean, that's opened a lot of doors. Been around the world. I've been to socialist countries. Let me say, prosperity breeds what we've had. You know, we have not only abundance, we have all the peanut butter you could ever want
that's
here in America.
Right.
And
that's
we have three dozen brands from which to choose, you know. And that's a result of market forces and competition. And so not only do we have the bare necessities for the subsistence of life, you know, we have brands and, you know, it's been a great thing. We are blessed. But I will say, when I go to, you know, socialist countries or even Marxist countries, you know, they don't know what abundance and choice
that's
and
right.
affluence
yeah, that's
is.
Right.
Okay, our ministry, Truth Story, New Generation, we're based out of North Carolina. We do events in all 50 states and internationally. Well, maybe 10 years ago, we put on a missions conference, and we got some backing, and we had some speakers. Well, among the people we brought in were two pastors from Ethiopia, and they were two Christian, you know, leaders. They built villages. They planted churches. So we flew them over here. And they arrived in North Carolina early, early, early on a Sunday morning. And they connected, I forget what airport they connected. It might have been New Jersey, Newark. But then they come to Greensboro. Well, myself and another pastor, we go to the Greensboro, North Carolina airport, PTI, Piedmont Triad. It's like, you know, 7:40 on a Sunday morning to greet these two gentlemen. and they come off the plane, and first time on American soil, you know. So it's early. We're going to go. They're going to speak at this missions conference. So there was like nothing really is open, but I happen to know of a grocery store that was open, and literally because I used to deliver eggs there when we had the chicken farm. So I said, I know there's a store. We can go. We'll get you a bagel or muffins, some orange juice or something like that. So now we get their bags and we're driving into the city. It's, you know, 8:15 a.m. on a Sunday morning. So we go to this grocery store. And I mean, it's an okay. It was called Harris Teeter. That's a chain of stores. Mm-hmm. Some of your listeners have heard of Harris Teeter probably. Anyway, you know, it's an okay grocery store. It's not the fanciest in the world, but it's you know, an average American supermarket. And so we go in there, and the two pastors from Ethiopia are just like awestruck. They're looking around. I mean, just like they can't get their mind around it.
Mm.
And we're at the end of this aisle, and there were a bunch of boxes of Frosted Flakes. And this guy's holding these, and he says to me, and I quote, Mike, these two Ethiopians, this guy looks at me, he goes, is there a food repository like this in every city?
A food repository, yeah.
And I said, look at this. And we looked down the aisle, and there's 300 boxes of cereal. I said, brother, there's a food repository like this on just about every corner. And we were talking, and he was saying how long the food in this just ordinary grocery store would feed his village for like several years. Now,
yeah.
I'm not trying to beat ourselves up. God has blessed us. America is blessed. And we're very, very fortunate. I mean, in fact, we have so much opulence. You know, it's not starvation that's our problem, but it's gluttony. All right. But here's my point. With great blessing comes the obligation to faithful stewardship. And to those that may be, and I talk with a lot of young people, to those that may be enamored with Marxism or socialism or, you know, the government being our nanny, look, trust me, having traveled this world and interacted with people of every conceivable political and economic background, they covet what we've got, but what gave us prosperity, stability, sustainability, liberty, it was a Judeo-Christian moral code and freedom. Listen, it wasn't government control that gave us 50 different choices of cereal. It was a free market economy.
That's right.
And you've got Kellogg's, and you've got Post, and you got Quaker Oats, and you know, you can drive one of 60, you know, makes of automobile. You've got not only choice and abundance, but you've got innovation. You know, I love to learn the story of people where they, you know, their career. And I've met people in the timber business, and they create plywood and OSB. And I've met people that were in engineering. I've got, in fact, one of the donors to our ministry helped engineer heart valves, but it was private money that gave us engineering and innovation and marketability and prosperity. And so heaven forbid that the America that at one time, because of our Judeo-Christian foundation, we were not only the light of salvation and truth,
right,
but really the trailblazers in terms of innovation, telephone, television, penicillin, indoor air conditioning, the automobile, the airplane. And as you know, any one of these things could be a whole segment of show. But I want to tell you, folks.
Well, hold that thought right there. I'm up against a break right now. We got to take a quick one. We'll be back in a moment. Alex McFarland is with me. I love it when he's here. We'll be back in a moment.
Would you like to increase your business's exposure in the Christian community and build your business with greater kingdom purpose? If so, then the Central Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce is the solution for you. Hi, this is Co-President LaTondra Heaven. The Christian Chamber is more than just another business organization. It's a regional community of business professionals passionate about advancing the kingdom of God through the marketplace in Central Florida. As a member, get access to exclusive values-based networking events, Christ-centered professional development, marketing opportunities, and consistent prayer support for you and your business. Plus, gain access to the National U.S. Christian Chamber Coalition. Become a member today. Visit our website, cfchristianchamber.com, or call us at 407-431-0732. That's 407-431-0732.
Back again now with Alex McFarland, apologist, speaker, talking to us from out in Colorado, the beautiful area of Colorado. The mountain majesty in that state is just off the chart. And we were talking about all things America and how blessed we are. And I had to interrupt you to take the break. Go ahead and jump back in there, Alex.
Well, thanks, Mike. It's always a privilege to be on with you. And you're very gracious that you and I can just converse as friends and talk about how good the Lord has been to this country.
Yes, indeed.
But, you know, I think about what they used to call it Yankee ingenuity,
mm-hmm.
but what it gave to the world, you know, the Wright brothers. You know, down in my home state of North Carolina, you can go to the Outer Banks. I've been countless numbers of times to Kitty Hawk, where the Bishop's boys, Wilbur and Orville Wright, the sons of a Methodist bishop, they perfected the flight of a heavier-than-air machine. And you know what's really amazing is, around the turn of the century, around the year 1900, a lot of people around the world were trying to create a flying machine.
Yeah, and that's so interesting that you said heavier-than-air, but that really makes sense because they've got to overcome that gravity.
Exactly. Well, as virtually everyone listening to this show will know, an airplane wing is called an airfoil, and it's kind of a curved thing that splits the air, and underneath it, creates lift mm-hmm. and vacuum. But what is not always told is that, you know, a lot of people, Wilbur and Orville Wright, had studied it for a long time, and a lot of people had these ideas. There's some just video on YouTube, I'm sure everybody's seen it, of these contraptions flopping up and down, and they would fall apart. Well, Wilbur and Orville Wright, being from a Christian family, they prayed about it.
Wow.
And one of them said, let's look at the bird's wing. And a bird's wing is an airfoil. It's a somewhat curved, it's almost like you're looking at a teardrop shape sideways.
Mm-hmm.
And when that, with sufficient force, hits the wind headlong, it creates vacuum and lift. But see, and Wilbur and Orville, you can see this if you go to their museum, they built what is very probably the world's first wind tunnel. They created, it's genius. They tried to build a bird's wing, and they would force air against it with a fan and watch it rise. And they perfected the airfoil. Now, the venturi of a carburetor, if you've ever looked down through a carburetor, it's the same thing. The sides of a carburetor venturi is an airfoil too, and it creates suction, and the air-fuel mixture is drawn into the cylinders, and you have combustion. Now, this is amazing, and I'll tell you where I'm going with this in a moment. So Wilbur and Orville create wings that are functional, and they created gliders. And they went to the Outer Banks, to the sand dunes, and they learned that their gliders would fly. Well, then they needed an engine. So they built an engine, and it's a four-stroke, you know, intake, compression, ignition, exhaust. And you can see some of their engines there that they just carved them out of a block of iron. They built the engine, the little fuel reservoir. They finally mounted it to the airplane, and in 1903, flight was born.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's my point. If you go to the museum there, and I've been many times, I was there one time, and I hope it's still there. There was a King James Bible underlined, and it said, this is one of the Wright brothers' Bibles. Now, laying beside it in this glass case is a diary, and it says, like, you know, Sunday, December something. The conditions are perfect, but it is the Lord's Day, and we do not fly the glider on Sunday.
Wow. Yeah, you don't hear that everywhere. You don't hear that everywhere.
And there's a brand new book out, by the way, by David Barton called The American Story. It's great.
Yeah.
I love Norman Vincent Peale wrote a book called This Amazing Century, and that's kind of dated. Tom Brokaw wrote The Greatest Generation. William J. Federer, Bill Federer, wrote a wonderful book, Miracles in American History. In my own book, 10 Issues That Divide Christians, I've written extensively with more than 200 footnotes on American exceptionalism. And I guess what I'm saying, Mike, is look, America's not perfect. And our home, if you're a believer, our home is in heaven, of course. But we have been entrusted with liberty, stability, prosperity. Now, it's at risk at the moment, but our nation, we have indoor air conditioning. The world does. It was invented in America. The telephone, the television, the airplane, affordable mass-produced automobiles, penicillin, the Salk vaccine. We went to the moon. I mean, America has been good. America is great. America has been a blessing to the world, but it was not Marxism. It was not wokeness or critical theory that did it. It was morality and Christianity and a good old American work ethic. And we dare not lose it, Mike. We may God grant for the Great Commission. We've been blessed to be a blessing.
Yeah,
and to
we
take
have
the name of Jesus around the world, but we can't squander it away.
Isn't it always surprising to you when you realize that the very people that appear to be squandering it away, in your words, are those that have been entrusted to lead this great country? That's what I can't understand. It's just boggling of the mind to realize that we are purposefully, and they are doing this purposefully with regards to the border and the people that are coming in and all of the crime that's happening and sadly loss of life that's happened since all of this began. It's just condoned and looked the other way. And I know that's part of what we're going to talk about here in a moment. But I really love the fact that you've brought all of this up about American exceptionalism, because I don't think that's something that's appreciated by our government this day. I don't believe that they really want us to be that way any longer. It's what it seems that way anyway. I don't think I'm all that far off.
Well, just yesterday, and as you and I are doing this, it's mid-April 2024, and I'm in Colorado. Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk, great organization.
Yeah.
I've spoken for them. I've booked them. They have a speaker touring the nation right now. Her name is Y-N-O-M-E, Wynome. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. Wynome Park. She defected from North Korea, came to America, really risked her life to escape North Korea. And I don't know if she's a Christian or not. I don't know. But a number of my students, I'm teaching worldview, they went to University of Colorado to hear her speak last night. And they came back, and they were very moved. This was incredible. She talked about life in North Korea. But as she's toured several American universities to speak, There have been protests. There have been shouts. There have been professors being very critical because Turning Point USA is a good organization. They're pro-Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
But Winomi Park here in Colorado Springs, just, you know, 24 hours ago, she said that the oppression and the animosity and really the denial of free speech at American University, she said, this is like North Korea.
Wow.
And she told the audience, and many of my students were there. I was not there, but I've got several hundred students I'm teaching this week, and a couple of dozen went to hear her speak. She said, in some ways, she feels more freedom of speech in North Korea than on American secular university campuses.
What a shocking statement. And God help us all. That should never be the case. But that is exactly right. I mean, you look at the pictures. If you are a person that's going out and standing for something that's biblical or standing for something that has long since been held as just good old everyday common sense that has to do with gender, and you try to bring that kind of a biblical position on one of these universities, and you'll find out just how quickly unpopular you are, not only by the staff and the teachers, but also by the students. It's just like a seedbed for these thoughts that are just out there.
Well, let me say this, and let's talk a little bit about language. Because one of the things that Marxists do in creating disorder to impose new order is the way language is used.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't mean to get out in the weeds here, but look, there are no accidents. I mean, and it really does behoove us to listen actively. You know, about a year ago, Vice President Kamala Harris was giving a speech. And she was passionately talking about our democracy, which we do not have a democracy.
It's
we have
a republic.
A representative republic, right?
That's right.
Kamala Harris was saying, you know, our Declaration Constitution guarantees us liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And repeatedly she said, we have the right to liberty. Now, notice what she didn't say.
Yeah.
She didn't quote the Declaration, which says life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
That's right.
See, because their platform in January of 2020, candidate Joe Biden said, and I quote, there is no place in the Democrat Party for someone who is not pro-choice. So to the unsuspecting listener, oh, it sounds good. We have liberty and the pursuit of happiness. No. Jefferson wrote that God has guaranteed us the right to life, liberty, the pursuit
That's right.
of happiness.
That's right.
That's why when Roe versus Wade was overturned, no woman's rights were truncated because unless it is self-defense or national defense, no human has the right to kill another human. Even the late Christopher Hitchens, an atheist,
mm-hmm.
and I knew him, we were friends. Even Hitchens, he was an atheist, is a passionate defender of life, that the unborn is a human and as such has all of the same constitutionally protected rights as any other person. But here's what I want to say about language, Mike. Okay, you know, wokeness talks a lot about deconstructing this racist, structurally flawed America.
Yeah, right.
Now, what a lot of people don't realize is deconstruction is really a philosophy from Ludwig Wittgenstein. He's a German philosopher. And basically he said, you know, of any, whether it be, you know, history or a text, the Bible, Shakespeare, whatever, you know, you don't take the words for what you think they say. You deconstruct, and then you build back better
mm-hmm.
according to your perspective. See, nothing is objectively true. Everything is perspectival. Now, you know, I cannot overstate. Ludwig Wittgenstein and Martin Heidegger, Austrian-born Wittgenstein said, really talk about God is meaningless. And then, Heidegger said that we deconstruct. And then, now listen to this, a German philosopher, Martin Heidegger, died in 1976. We deconstruct what is, and then we build back better through our own personal experiences and interpretations. Now, I don't want to bore everybody with getting into a lot of the philosophers behind wokeness, but the idea that whatever is, whether it's a text, a moral precept, a law, a building, a culture, we deconstruct and we reconstruct. Now, where repeatedly have we heard the phrase build back better?
Oh, yeah, that's being used as the mantra for Biden right now.
But here's the thing. You can only build back if you have first torn down.
Yeah, yeah.
And look, I know my home is heaven. See, this is where pastors, they reprimand me, and they'll say, well, Brother Alex, I didn't get the memo. I had a guy tell me this verbatim. He was like, I didn't get the memo. I thought our home was heaven, and mm-hmm. here you're trying yeah. to save America when our destination is really heaven. Well, it is, but I've probably said this on your show before, but, 1,600 years ago, Augustine, he lived 354 to 430. He said that, until we are in the city of God, we have an obligation to the city of man.
Mm.
And it is not godly and certainly not wise just to abdicate our role and sit back and passively let godless socialists tear down the United States of America.
That's right, man. That's right. It's not every day I get to hear someone quote someone from the fourth century like that, but you're right. That is so right. Holy cow, we've got to hold on to what we have here. It is going to be a shame. I think a lot of people are really underplaying what is actually going on, but we are losing rights daily, and it is not going to be a fun thing if the freedoms and the liberties that we have enjoyed that have also brought wonderful lives. Oh, my goodness. We have no idea how much we have to lose. And I pray, man, this is what I'm praying. We've got just another couple of minutes here before we break. But I'm praying that we don't lose that. And I know that when we come back on the other side of this break, I want to talk about what happened at Easter this just a couple weeks back that really was shocking to many, many people. And then it's kind of like downplayed our media once again coming up and just almost forgetting about it quickly thereafter. But these are the things that are going on. We've got so much to lose. Friends, we've got to hang on to what we've got. So let's do just that. My guest today is Alex McFarland. I'll be back with him in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike.
Join host Mike Gilland for The Shepherd at Work every Saturday morning at 10:05 a.m. You will be introduced to a marketplace leader that will help you learn to walk out your faith wherever you live and work. The Shepherd at Work is sponsored by the Central Florida Christian Chamber, building kingdom, business, and community throughout our area. That's The Shepherd at Work, this Saturday morning at 10:05 a.m.
Alex McFarland is my guest today on the program. Alex is out at Caris Bible College speaking out in Colorado, and what a great treat that he's taken this hour out of his day to be with all of us. I so enjoy getting to talk with you again, as you quoted Augustine just a little bit ago, and thinking about how that until we have that blessed event of being promoted to the city of God, we've got to continue to live in the cities in which we live. And the city of man. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're trying our best to hang on to all of the wonderful freedoms that America has enjoyed. Freedoms that, by the way, came at a great price to a lot of fellow citizens. And they gave their all in many cases so that we could enjoy the freedoms that it seems like we are just giving away to what this the leaders of the progressive left are calling the really important things, like what happened on Easter Sunday when a declaration was made that Sunday, which happened to be Easter Sunday, was to be declared as the Transgender Visibility Day on a national basis. And I know that just about flipped a bunch of brains right out of their heads, man. I know it's not. And the shocking thing is when asked about it at a press conference just the next day, President Biden answered by saying, "I didn't do that." Now, go figure. I don't quite understand this whole line of talk. Do you?
Well, wasn't it Harry Truman who said the buck stops here?
It sounds either Teddy or I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure it was.
It's probably Truman.
And by the way, he had a very humorous nickname. They called him Harry Truman, but he was a man who talked the talk and walked the walk, and from what I read, a Christian himself. But Harry Truman said the buck stops here. In other words, he was willing to own responsibility for the decisions his administration made.
That's right.
I mean, that's leadership.
That is.
So when President Joe Biden says Transgender Visibility Day on Easter, I don't know anything about that. I didn't do it. Okay. He's either passing the buck and, I guess hoping his staff would take the fallout for that horrid decision. In that case, that's poor leadership. Or if he legitimately, and I suspect this is the case, that he is not the one setting the policy, it's Barack Obama. And listen, I've got friends in Washington of unimpeachable integrity who have told me for the last 2 years that we are in Barack Obama's third term.
Mm-hmm. I believe
de facto.
It. Yeah.
And you look at most of the president's speeches, Barack Obama is either on the stage or at least visible back in the wings. But here's the thing. The buck with Biden, the buck never stops with him, because either he's dodging responsibility or, in fact, maybe it is not he who is leading the country.
Yeah.
And, of course, that begs the question, well, then who is?
Yeah.
But let me just say this. We're hearing so much nowadays about trans rights. Okay, our Constitution, it's time to learn some words. Our Constitution guarantees the protection of natural rights, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. Now, these rights are not unlimited. Like, I don't have the right, if I don't want to work, I don't have the right to steal your stuff. So natural liberty is liberty within a moral context. And here's the thing. For so many today, and I've spoken at 200 American universities. I've yet to meet an American professor that knows who wrote the First Amendment.
Mm.
It was a man named Fisher Ames, by the way, a Christian man. That's another story. Here's my point. Liberty is not unlimited. But for so many today, and it's been drilled into the heads of generations of school kids, it's really like this militant autonomy. I can do anything I want. Well, no, we can't. Now, here's my point. There is no such thing as trans rights, because a behavior is not the same as an ethnicity. See, as a pastor and counselor, I've counseled former homosexuals, former cross-dressers, former transgenders. I've never met a former Hispanic or
right,
a former
right.
Caucasian.
Right.
See,
that's right.
Our constitutional rights refer to immutable characteristics common to all of humanity. Now, that we're a human, that is immutable. No one can become a plant or an animal. So natural rights refer to the immutable characteristics. We are men, and by the way, the Declaration uses the masculine pronoun in the generic sense. All men, human beings, mm-hmm. are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Now, really, our natural rights, the grouping, is called a penumbra, P-E-N-U-M-B-R-A, a penumbra of rights. And so when people demand, well, what about my right to an abortion? What about my right to gay marriage? Biden says education is a human right. No, no, it isn't. Now, education is a fine thing. I highly recommend it. But education, a degree track at a university, that is a product. Now, it's a good product. Go earn a degree, get an education, and you'll have the credentials to pursue a career. But look, they'll say healthcare is a human right. Health insurance and medical services are a product you can buy.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no natural right to education, to food, or to healthcare. Now, people need those things, and I want people to have those things. But to the penumbra of constitutionally protected natural rights, now we're continually tacking on contrived, manufactured, artificial rights. I had some college students say to me, and by the way, I read an article, access to Wi-Fi is a human right, we're told.
Mm-hmm.
Cell
a
phones
human
provided
right.
by the government.
Oh, my goodness.
I had
goodness.
Some college students from UNC Charlotte. The Obama phones, that's a human rights issue, that the government provides you a mobile device. No, God have mercy. God intervene. Now, I want people to have phones, insurance, degrees, and all the food they want to eat. But what you have to do is get out of bed, get a job, and go work for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is not my responsibility to provide that. I have the opportunity to provide it for myself, and in a prosperous culture, America, not socialist countries, America, by many, many, you know, iterations over, we are the most philanthropic nation in the world, but we've been able to be generous and engage in benevolent giving because we have freedom, prosperity.
Right.
And because of that, and free market forces, we've had affluence. The Biden administration and the Democrat Party jeopardizes all of that. And let me just say this, and I'm only speaking for myself. I'm speaking for Alex McFarland, and if you disagree, that's fine. And I don't want to in any way impugn you or this station, Mike. But I'm saying this as a pastor. I'm saying this as a theologian, and I'm saying this as one that teaches American history. If you are a Christian, you have a stewardship obligation to get out and vote godly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, I can almost hear it because I've had pastors say to me, Alex McFarland, I trusted you. And oh my goodness, Alex McFarland, how could you vote for that mean old man, Donald Trump? Well, here's the thing. Because I voted for Trump in 2016 and 2020, I spoke at four Republican rallies for Trump. I was on that faith advisory board. And if the nominees are Biden and Trump, I can tell you that I'll be voting for Donald Trump. And I would urge other Christians to do the same. That in no way am I saying I agree with everything he's ever said or done. It's like this. let's say I order something from Amazon. So does that mean that I endorse every product they carry or ever have carried? Of course not.
Or their thoughts and business model or whatever.
Right. Yeah. So here's the thing. Show me where people stand on two issues, and I'll know where they stand on everything else. Life and Israel. I mean, really.
Yeah.
Show me where a candidate stands on the sanctity of human life and on our relationship with the nation of Israel, and I will know where they stand on three dozen other issues. And any election is the lesser of two evils. I mean, even if the candidates were, you know, Billy Graham versus Mother Teresa.
That's right.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
Whenever you have fallen humans, the question is not, you know, do I agree with everything they ever said or did? Would I want to go on vacation with this guy? Or would I call them as my next pastor? That's not the question. And what I'm saying is, and I've met President Trump. I've sat in on endless meetings and phone calls. And look, if I were his pastor and I wish to the Lord that I could be, there's plenty a lot I would talk to him about regarding his comportment. But I want to say this. Honestly, who is going to look after the interests of taxpaying American citizens? Who is going to be a friend to Israel? Who is going to suppress terrorism and make the world a safer place? Who would China and Russia think twice before pushing around? Listen, Mike, I'm from North Carolina. A year ago, for 3 hours on a Saturday afternoon, a Chinese spy balloon hovered over Fort Bragg.
Isn't that something? I know it.
And listen, I've spoken at Fort Bragg, which is now called Fort Liberty, because, of course, the politically correct deconstructionists have to rename everything. All right. I've got friends in the intel community at Fort Bragg, Pope Air Force Base, NORAD out here in Colorado. They were going nuts while that Chinese spy balloon was hovering over one of the most important military installations in the world, 50,000 people at Fort Bragg on any given day. Fort Bragg is connected to the Pentagon, to NORAD, Missile Command, and that Chinese spy balloon hovered 3 hours, and they know it was trolling our hard drives. Do you honestly think that would have happened under President Trump?
Yeah.
And so I'm pleading with all of the listeners. If you care about national security, if you care about us following the rule of law and the Constitution, I'm not saying you have to go on vacation. I'm not saying you have to like him. I'm just saying, honestly, and please, folks, don't just say, well, he's mean. He, you know, like there was an actress just this morning who said that he is no different than Adolf Hitler. Well, that's not even a rational statement.
We've got 1 minute left, Alex. 1 minute. Yeah.
Yeah. We're talking about either the free constitutional America in which we will live or the Marxist indigent state of poverty and policing that is happening. May God save America, and may God use our lives to that end.
I agree completely. God have mercy on this country, because we need his mercy. Alex, it's always great to talk with you. I wish we weren't out of time, but we are. Tell us the website, how people can learn more about the work and the visits that you're giving to colleges and other places. What's the website?
Just alexmcfarland.com, alexmcfarland.com. Please pray for us. We have 7 summer camps with over 1,200 middle school and high schoolers this summer. It's going to be a great year, and we're going to woke proof America's kids.
I love what you're doing, man, and I love the things that you bring to the table here when you're with me on this show. So that's great. Alex McFarland, we'll be back next time right here on The Shepherd. Thank you for joining us on yet another program of Afternoons with Mike.